What's going on, Clips Nation? It's Tuesday. Twitter freaking Tuesday. We're coming live at Locked On Clips. That's every single Tuesday around 1:30 Pacific Standard.
You know, what are you going to do?
So make sure you check out that. If you ever want to leave a question but are unable to watch the stream, I don't know why you wouldn't be. You should be setting your priorities better.
Should be alive.
You can get at us any time of the week. That's at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler.
Yeah.
Love to hear from you. So, got a heck of a show lined up for you today.
Woo!
We're going to be kicking things off with some awards.
People in the comments already talking about Doc getting snubbed.
I'm going to say awards. Do we care?
We'll get into that. No is the answer, but that's later.
And then we've got some questions people already sent in, and we'll be taking stuff on the live stream. And then we're going to be talking some free agency stuff to wrap everything up.
Yeah,
let's get it.
All right, so let's talk about these awards. First of all, oh, you can't see it in the frame, but we got our sixth man of the year right here, Lou Williams, hanging out with us. He won his third sixth man of the year,
yeah,
tying Jamal Crawford.
Definitely. You think he'll make four?
So, dude, that's what I was thinking about. And with how much, like, so if you think about the pieces the Clippers might lose,
mm-hmm,
he might have to if we're going to get to 48 wins again.
For sure.
Like, I don't see anyone coming in who's going to take away his productive minutes. I don't mean that in a bad or good way. I just don't see us bringing in someone who's going to fill the role that he plays at all.
The only issue I see with him getting his fourth would be voter fatigue.
yeah.
Zach Lowe has even talked about before how, like, sometimes he thinks six man is boring because it's like, there's Lou Williams and
Jamal
and who else.
Yeah.
But I feel like that is not the case anymore. I feel like the lane has opened up a lot more for the six man with guys like Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Who else am I thinking? Yeah, Domantas Sabonis. I just feel like there's a lot more competition out there now. Obviously, another Clipper even was in the running in Montrezl Harrell. So I do feel like there's a little bit more competition, but I hope that doesn't distract from him. Like, I mean, he's the best six man of all time.
Absolutely. And I think the six man's more exciting now because six men play so many more minutes. Like,
yes,
your six man has to play a bunch of minutes. He's going to be great. I think so this year, Lou got to play in the best pick and roll of all time.
Mm-hmm.
What are your expectations for him kind of next year?
Because
it's going to be – the production might dip. No disrespect to Lou Will. It just might. He had his best season ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might take a slight dip. I don't know, man. His game is just his game.
Yeah.
I think his
assist might go up, actually.
I do think his assist could go up, especially as we add more actual legitimate floor spacers on that second unit.
Mm-hmm.
With Jamichael Green, you know, they only got a little bit of time to work things out. So
yeah.
I think that's going to come along. I don't know. It's hard for me to say that his production will fall off too much. They are going to face, like, defenses are going to be gunning
pick and rolls coming
a little
right
bit
now.
More.
We saw that if you kind of pressured Lou Will, if you trap Lou Will, it's kind of a tough nut for our offense to crack.
Definitely. I think that is mitigated by having more floor spacers.
100%.
That's it.
Couldn't agree more. Also, so there was a party. Lou Will hosted a party after the sixth man.
Hell yeah, he did.
At Bootsy Bellows in West Hollywood. Very fancy place if you've never been there. I never have. It was hosted by Lou Williams, Quavo, and John Wall.
Okay.
That seems like maybe party of the year other than Lou Willville, I feel like.
Oh, absolutely.
Why is John Wall there? That's what I want to know.
That's a good question.
Not nominated for any awards. Is not from California.
Oh, but he likes to hang out.
He's,
who doesn't like to be out
to
here? I think that I feel bad for the John Wall stuff because, like, he can't play right now. And
shout
that's
out
not,
John Wall, pod favorite.
And that's not really up to him, but I feel like I'm sure people were still in his mentions being like, oh, you're at the party, you're not at the gym.
Must have been all that weight you got gained. It was like, man, let him live, bro.
Dude, yeah, I don't know.
So let's move on to maybe the snub that people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Rivers got second in Coach of the Year voting.
Okay.
To Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah.
Which was... I don't know. I feel like it's annoying that he lost. You know, 48 wins with this team is great. We did give him kind of a glowing review for his season in review.
All lies.
Not all lies. He did get a little too cute with 3-point percentage. He played Avery Bradley too much. But do you think second is fair for him with how well the Bucks did? Or is it like a hard snub? It doesn't feel as egregious, I don't think, as some people are making it seem.
I just think that there were a lot of coaches in the running this year. Coach Bud.
Yeah.
why is his name escaping me? Denver.
Malone.
Malone. Mike Malone. Yes. I'm an idiot for
that. I feel
that.
Like Quinn Snyder can kind of always be up there, too.
Quinn Snyder. You know, that's a
like,
good rec.
Really good coach.
really solid. And I just think that I think it's a surprise that he even ended up second in the voting just because of how little the Clippers were on the national radar pre-playoffs.
That's a really good call. It was kind of like, there was like, other than a couple of like the Ringer articles here and there about like the Clippers not tanking and it somehow working out. I think that's fair. The general consensus doesn't really understand that Doc is a good coach, I don't think.
Yeah, and that was never really, outside of media who cover the Clippers and fans of the Clippers, obviously, that was never a storyline for this team.
That's a very
the
good
only
storyline.
Like, the only storylines have been, are they tanking, are they not? What star are they going to get?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know, Lou Will and Trez got some attention and storylines in the national spotlight.
Good point from someone on the stream. Considering no All-Stars, he did get snubbed. That's a good take.
Lou Will is an All-Star. Gallo is an All-Star.
This kind of branched off into another thing. I saw someone posting, I think it was a Clippers Film Room. Fantastic follow. If you're not following them, you probably are, though. He was pointing out some of the good things he saw Jerome doing. Do you think we maybe should have played Jerome more last year?
No. I think we played him the proper amount of time.
I think if we were losing, we would have played him more, but we were winning, so I don't think Doc wanted to mess that up.
I think there was opportunity for him to soak up some of the he who must not be named on this podcast minutes. I do think it's really hard because we were really in the mix. We were in the mix for the playoffs all season.
The whole time.
And I think it's really hard to want to put a new guy in that spot. Especially for someone like Doc, who has come a long way in terms of development and dealing with rookies. But still, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm very excited for Jerome when he develops and whatnot, but he just wasn't ready last year.
Yeah.
We saw him get some good spot starts. He was great a little bit in the playoffs and the small time that he played. But I don't know if starting shooting guard for the Clippers last year was the best spot for him. I don't think we win 48 games if he's the starter. Things obviously turned out differently, but I hope he gets more time this year, I guess.
Definitely.
Now that we got the shuffle, it makes more sense. Someone saying, would have been great to give him consistent 5 to 8 minutes a game so he could get into rhythm. I like that. Yeah,
couldn't
that would have
agree
been,
more.
That would have been great.
I think that had his defense been at the point where I feel like it got later into the season, where he was at least not a complete net negative, I do think that those minutes would have been found for him. I just think that early on, there were some questions about it. He did look a little bit lost out on the court at times.
Yeah, he had the wide eyes sometimes.
And that is something that will fully get resolved with play for sure, but in the meantime, like, while he's getting that confidence, it's really hard to want to put a guy out there for that many minutes. I mean, even guys who I feel like are more game ready, like Jonathan Motley or something like that, I feel like couldn't get time. They really couldn't break the rotation at all.
For sure, especially in the guard. You know, Jerome's a guard. We have 18 of them. Another award snub, I think. This one was kind of interesting to me. Lawrence Frank got third in Executive of the Year voting. John Horst of the Bucks won.
Who was second?
Let me check. I believe
Travis
it was Schlenk. I believe it was Schlenk. God, I hope it was.
That's a hard go. Once again, I think it just has to do with, I feel like the front office didn't really get much play until the
until kind of free agency talks happened.
Until
basically.
Until free agency until post trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And I still think that I mean, obviously, for NBA voters, it's different, but I think that so much more of the narrative is centered around Jerry West, whether positive or negative.
That's a really good call.
And I do think that sometimes people lose sight of how huge Lawrence is to this organization.
Yeah. It's an interesting... Yeah, it is like such an interesting award because most NBA fans, I feel like, don't care.
Yeah.
They don't know who John Horst is. No disrespect to Horst, but you kind of move in silence if you're a GM.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. I also think that there is a bit of time to see how this plays out in the long term. I think that on a lot of people's minds, what we did last year was somewhat fluky. You know, being able to trade what was the closest player to an all-star, like the best player on the team, and still make the playoffs. I do think that some people maybe saw as a little bit more fluky. They didn't give us the credit that we really deserved on that.
Yeah, and executive is also weird too, because for me, like, it wouldn't have been crazy to think that, like, I could have maybe given it to, one sec, where did I lose it? To Masai for the Raptors. He made such a ballsy trade.
That's an interesting, like, one, too, for sure.
For some reason, for me, executives have to have that, like, I'm a lunatic gene a little bit to make a trade like that.
Definitely.
Where it's like, this is all or nothing. But I think third is fair for Lawrence. He did what he had to do. Didn't necessarily make whatever big splash moves, which I think is what makes him a great executive as well.
Yeah.
Final award, not technically an NBA award, but from Slam Magazine, the voice of the NBA. Shea won first team all drip for the rookies, which is hats off to Shea.
Which is the new rookie of the year.
Some would say more important than rookie of the year. Give a shout out to Shea's Instagram. All he posts is drip pics. I think LA was a good fit for him for this situation.
Definitely.
I think
definitely.
It was a great fit for him.
I saw that he posted on Twitter whose draft day suit was better, his or Nikhil's?
His.
Yeah.
100% Shea's.
Definitely. It was iconic. People were trashing it on Twitter, and I thought
people are idiots.
100% wrong. All floral print is just classy.
If you're a tall, skinny guy, floral print always works.
You should have gone accent tie. That's really my only criticism.
We're going to do lockdown draft fashion next week after this. Coming up after this break, we're going to get into some Twitter Tuesdays, some questions from you guys. But first, I want to give a shout-out to Hotels.com. Say you're in a weird city. Where are you going to stay, Will?
I don't know.
I hope it's not the street. You should check out Hotels.com. Maybe they have a room on the street.
The city is L.A., Skid Row.
Well, of course. Cheapest place to stay. All right, welcome back to Twitter Tuesdays. If you're listening to us on the Himalaya app, climb that mountain, baby. Enjoy the whole rest of the show.
And if you haven't, check it out.
Check it out. So we got some pretty good ones. We got a bunch of things about Kawhi. So this is kind of a Kawhi slash Twitter Tuesdays thing. From S. Manowar, this is an informative question. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what opting out of a contract is and why it discouraged Clippers fans when Kawhi did it? So opting out of a contract is something you just do if you don't opt in.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't. I feel like we always, like, when people report it, they always make it seem more formal. Like they've called them on the phone and said,
"I'm opting out.
I'm opting out. I'm not doing it.
Sons of bitches."
And really, if you just if you don't like opt in, and
that's opting out.
Then that's opting out. Like that's it. Yeah. There's just a timeline on it.
And the discouragement comes from the fact that I think he would have been making something like $23 million a year, and by opting out. Now the Raptors can offer him more money per year for next year.
Yes, and I think that also ties into what he ends up doing in this free agency. You know, we've talked about it before, but there's no real way in my mind that he's going to do anything other than a 1+1, just with the cap rising next year.
With either team.
Yeah, he's looking at another $8 million a year on a contract regarding the cap.
Yeah, it's so there was a report that Frank Isola is the only one reporting this. He's a pretty good reporter. I'm not sure how sourced he is with Kawhi, but he's reporting that there's a tentatively scheduled meeting with the Clippers for July 2nd.
Okay.
How do you feel about those billboards that got put up?
I don't think that was through the organization.
Oh, no, not at all. If I had to guess, it'd be some lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Jacob Imrani, who's a lawyer, did the LeBron ones.
Someone's asking how much will Kawhi get if he comes to the Clippers cap wise. So
$30 million.
He would get around $32.5 million.
Yeah.
This year. And then he would most likely opt out and re-opt in next year with the rise of the cap and get
33, 34.
I don't know. It raises by $10 million. So we'd get 30% of that. So you're looking at 35.7 or something.
Yeah. Someone's asking what tentatively scheduled means. I don't know. That's I think why he's the only person reporting on it.
That's how I always commit to things. It's
tentatively
pencil me in.
There was a really good question from Raya552. Does Masai staying with Toronto have any bearing on Kawhi staying with the Raptors?
Well,
that was a good question.
Masai's not leaving Toronto.
Oh yeah, sorry, staying with Toronto. Yeah.
So no,
I don't think that bears on him because I think him staying. Yeah, I mean, he brought him there. He knows he's a good GM already. I think if he left, that would maybe give me a little bit more hope.
Definitely. But, oh, yeah, for sure. If he would have taken that Washington deal, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Somebody just said the Raz 49ers had a hot take that didn't like the billboards. Think it was done by a Lakers fan. That would explain why they were so shitty looking.
Yeah. Hey, got him. So we just talked about this. If Kawhi doesn't come, him signing a 1+1 with Toronto is probably the best situation for the Clippers in a situation where he doesn't come to the team.
For sure.
This was a question from Hard Boiled Bees. Seems like it should have been Hard Boiled D's. If Kawhi signs a one-on-one with Toronto, do you think we go the Mavs-Lakers route and sign big one-year deals to try again in 2020? So less long-term stuff now, other than Horford, which we're going to get into in just a few minutes.
I don't know who outside of the marquee free agents would really be down for one-year deals, personally.
Yeah, because the class is really bad next year.
Next
if you look
year,
at the draft, the free agency class, excuse me, it is not popping.
And
well, next year, it's great, but next year, awful.
I think in any other in any other season, players would be a lot more likely to take a one-year deal and do the, you know, bet on themselves, to use another cliche.
Yeah.
I think with all the injuries this year, players are going to be a lot more hesitant, and they're going to say, I want the money. I want the money with a player option.
The money.
And, you know, I want, you know, 3+ years. That would be my guess. Marquee guys, a little bit different. Like, obviously Durant and Kawhi have a little bit more.
They can do one-on-ones, and it's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've got a bunch of questions for free agents we should get other than Kawhi. Someone asked, would we do the sign-and-trade with Golden State to get KD? I would rather maybe just sign KD outright instead of trading anything.
Oh, yeah,
if we were to go that route. If we get Kawhi, do we think DeMarcus Cousins is a good fit? No.
I'm not a fan of the Cousins fit.
I like him more than some of the other names that have been thrown around.
I think that you and I are pretty much in agreement that we are most interested in like a true traditional big man.
A big guy.
Which, you know, Boogie has never really been that defensively. So yeah, I don't know. I think there's some interesting guys out there at the five. I still am a fan of Willie Cauley-Stein. I think that
he wants out of Sacramento.
I think that if you went back to kind of emphasizing his strengths, which are like in college, he was a monster on defense.
He's an athlete. Yeah.
He just can't be the guy like trying to run point center or whatever.
Yeah. Which he doesn't have to, which is great in our offense.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you could get him to buy into a role, which the Clippers have had a lot of luck doing, I do think it could
don't
be
don't gotta lift weights if you come through over here, bro.
I think it could be a really successful pairing. And I do think that he's a guy whose stock probably dropped a little bit this year.
Yeah.
I think that he's a cheaper option. And then pod favorite we keep bringing up is going to be Bojan Bogdanović. He is essentially
he fits the team so well.
He is essentially a little bit less good, little bit older Tobias Harris, but he's a lot cheaper.
Yes. And
he was not going to be looking at max money.
No, not at all. All right, do you want to get into this? All right, so this is going to intro perfectly into the William Updike soapbox segment.
Okay.
What other FAs do you guys want us to get should we not get Kawhi? The floor is yours.
If we're going for a big man or if we're going for a big contract, I'm actually coming around to the idea of Al Horford.
Solo Al Horford. Just Al Horford, like without Kawhi.
I think just Al Horford raises the ceiling of this team more so than any other marquee free agent that we could add.
Okay.
Chris Middleton I like. I still think that we have a hole at the five that with a traditional-ish, I mean, he's traditional-ish center, could just allow us to run more guards. I also think only adding Al Horford, if we don't get another superstar, we could front load a contract for him. So maybe the first year is 40 and the second year is whatever.
Yes.
Horford played, apparently Horford doesn't like the five. He played 92% of his minutes this last year in Boston at the five. Seemed to work out fine. I guess I do worry about his durability maybe being a little bit older. But he has an old man game.
And if we have someone to back him up, say like a very energetic Trez or a young Zoo, that's a great stopgap for him. Those are two guys who can obviously eat up minutes when Horford's gassed, or even move Horford to the four in some lineups.
Yeah,
have Zoo
for sure.
At the five.
And he's a threat from just a lot of places. So everybody, you know, knows that he can be a three-point shooter. He's clearly a threat from outside. He shot 36%. Which isn't great, but his career is closer to 38,
yeah.
Which is a solid number. And I think that he would get a lot more open looks on this offense. He's got some other like pretty interesting things too. I feel like he generally gets bashed, even by me, as a guy who doesn't really play above the rim, a guy who is maybe hesitant.
He's not mashing down on it.
Is maybe hesitant to bang. However, according to Spectrum Stats on stats.nba.com,
heard of it?
He is in the top 15, 15 in the entire league of points per possession on post ups. With any like anybody who does more than two possessions per game.
This is a little eye-opening for me because I wasn't necessarily that high on Horford given the contract situation.
Yeah.
I hadn't kind of thought of the front load issue, which I think is a really good idea. I think he would probably be into that as well, maybe. He's going to get the guaranteed. I like him at a 3+1 with a team option. I think that'd be the best thing. I don't see why we would give him full 4 years guaranteed or something like that.
For sure.
My only concern is a little bit just of the rebounding, which was kind of our detriment last year, but I think we could maybe fill it in with some other guys.
Definitely. So he averages 7 boards a game, which is respectable. I don't know. I just think...
It's almost as many as Gallo.
I think he's an interesting piece, and yes. I guess I'm more interested in it offensively than anything else, but...
Yeah,
you know,
he makes our offense... Thinking about that spacing is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
That's a shooter pretty much everywhere.
And he just...
He
breaks down other traditional big men.
He breaks down Embiid. He's like the old man.
He breaks down, like, you know, arguably the best center in the league.
Yeah.
Or one of the best, depending on how you count Jokic and whatever.
Whatever.
So I think that that's really, really interesting. I think that that's a good match for the Western Conference with a lot of guys going for, like, a more traditional kind of role man. He's also great in the pick and roll.
Which might just be our bread and butter on both lineups next year. We might just run the pick and roll 97% of the time. Someone on the stream is commenting Gortat as a free agent. We're remembering Gortat with our shirt right here on the stream, so that's all we need to remember him by. He does not need to be a Clipper again. While Will's looking these up, we've seen Jimmy Butler thrown around in the live stream. Someone just asked, or is Jimmy Butler the perfect fit? I don't think he is. I don't think his attitude fits with the team. I don't think his shooting really fits with the team at all. He's not a very good three-point shooter. He's fine. He wouldn't be a primary ball handler. He shouldn't be anyway. Someone's commenting, he hates people that don't grind and work hard. I just think he doesn't like people who don't grind and work hard exactly like he grinds and works hard. I think he's kind of like the CP3 thing where he wants people to be maybe just like him, but he doesn't necessarily want to coach people. He just wants to yell instead of help. I just don't want him with as many youthful guys as we have. I don't want them to get discouraged by a vet who's making a max contract because he's not taking anything less than the max, he said, and which is it's his right. He should absolutely do that. But I don't want to see us give him the max. That would be one. I think that would be a very that would fall into the desperation category in terms of free agent signings, which I don't think this front office would do.
So, and also, like Al Horford is a much better match for the pick and roll as the roll man than Zubats. So of all players, all players in the NBA who average at least 3 possessions as the roll man on pick and rolls, he is in the top 10 in terms of points per possession, and he has more possessions per game than any other like Western Conference center, which is really impressive when you think about
it.
That's crazy. Especially just given the issues the Celtics had with their offense, I think he'd be in a much better position here. There's so many more shooters on the floor. I don't know. I'm excited about it.
You're bully on Horford, dude. I'm kind of coming around too.
What do you guys think? Other than the contract, I mean, I don't know what there isn't to like about Horford, but I've kind of always been a fan of his game. I loved him with the Hawks.
His game's going to age well. That plateau argument, I think, is the best argument to counter the long contract situation.
Team Horford, front load the contract.
NFL style, baby.
Give him 40 this year. Like, I don't care.
Coming up after this, we got some more free agency expectations questions. Want to give a quick shout out to Untucked Shirts for all you slobs that like to wear button down shirts that are untucked.
It's not a slob. We live in California. You should be untucked at all times.
We're team slob. Get some Untucked Shirts. Your button down shirts look fantastic untucked. Nice little hem. You don't look too big. One more time, Untucked Shirts. So more free agency talking.
Somebody just hit a Horford and Trez, mind blown. Love it.
That's a nasty 4-5 right there. Someone asked again about the Jimmy Butler situation, if we could just sign him to a 1-1 max. That's even more money to give him the first year. So again, no on Jimmy Butler. I think renting him that doesn't put us. I think if we run this team back with Jimmy Butler, I still think we're a 48-win team. I guess that's my hot take. I don't think we change all that much.
Durability is an issue. I don't know, man. He likes to be kind of ball dominant, which I think is great in the playoffs. Like, obviously, you know, he was the only one who could get a bucket sometimes for that Sixers team.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not real high
feel
on
like
it.
It feels almost like a lateral move, a little bit higher, but...
I don't love really adding any guards to this team. Is there anybody that really sticks out to you?
All I've been trying to think about is small forwards.
Yeah.
We just have so many guards. We're getting to your question now. So sorry you've asked it a couple times on the stream. We appreciate it. The question is, should we trade Gallo, given his trade value is high? I think his trade value is not as high as it was at the end of the trade deadline at last season.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe if we were going to move him, last season was the right time.
Agreed.
Which is something you said.
Agreed. For max value, for sure.
And now I think we kind of, unless we're bringing in two max guys, we should absolutely keep Gallo. Because Gallo on a team, say we add Al Horford, say we had Bohan, something, to take some of the pressure off him for scoring, we could see another fantastic year from Gallo. Not the same points, totals per games and whatnot, but I'm sure it'd be the same splits. It might be improved. There'd be less of a burden on him. I think it'd be great for his age.
I think it'd be similar. I think taking some of the pressure off would be good. I'm actually not really a big fan of trading Gallo at this point. I don't see any return that we could get that would be a big upgrade.
I don't see who would do it.
I just think that most people's biggest argument for trading Gallo would be the cap space, which we would open up. Depending on the team, you might have to attach an asset, like a pick or something, maybe a lesser player.
Jerome.
I don't know. At this point, I think it's too late. There's 1 year left on his contract, I believe. So, man, just roll with it.
I think, if anyone's going to trade him, it'd be a rental to get some hot shooting.
Yeah.
So... I don't really know what a team who might contend for the championship would give us asset-wise.
So he said, if only we drafted Paul George in 2010, our small forward issues would be solved. Oh, man.
Heard that.
Back when the world was small, you know?
Crack a cold one open to that take. That was a good one. Yeah, I'm a little, I don't know. So another issue with this Horford contract I just remembered is if we sign him to the six for the four for 112, I believe it is, we'd have to cut some guaranteed guys if we were to bring in another free agent, which makes me a little wary.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
That's where the executive of the year comes into play.
I don't know. If you can run this team back with Horford, I think that's a 55-win team.
Yeah. Someone, Matt Chong, pointed out we got some spicy assets for Tobias expiring at the trade line. Very true. That's a good point.
He's a lot younger, though. He doesn't have the same injury history. He also was like in the midst of a really breakout season where people started to take notice.
What if we just fleeced Philly again? What if they came back for Gallo?
That'd be great.
Give us Ben Simmons. No, that'd be fantastic. I don't know, man. What's your expectation as of now? What is it? June 25th, 2:10 or 2 p.m. Pacific Standard. How are you feeling about free agency expectations? What do you think we're going to come out with?
It's
been kind of a topsy-turvy couple of days, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely been topsy-turvy. I think that what we're looking at is addressing the issues at center and small forward, which I've been saying the whole time, regardless of the town. I mean, not regardless, obviously, but
sign anybody.
just trying to get value contracts for that amount. I don't really think that we're looking at one-and-ones.
No, I don't think our front office is thinking that short.
And I just think that this isn't the organization to be desperate enough to to lease an entire season on the hope that Kawhi is going to come the next year. So I think that we're going to roll out the best squad that we can possibly get. I don't know.
That's not bad. Someone's saying on the stream, Kawhi does a 1-1. We sign Horford and a small forward free agent for $10 to $12 million. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be the dream. That'd be a Western Conference Finals team, 100%.
Yeah, and if we could run everybody back, that'd be awesome.
Someone's asking who we should take if we don't get Patrick Beverley, which I think is actually, we should take some time on that and dig deep into these free agents.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that Friday, actually. That's a really good question. Thank you for asking that. You got anything else before we hang out on the stream for a little bit?
What if Kawhi does a 2+1 so he gets his raise after 10 years? I'm not sure.
2+1? I don't know. That'd be fine, I guess. Oh, 10-year service in the NBA.
Once he hits his
That's smart.
That's fair.
Depends on how much money the cap's going to go up, because you might want to get that jolt.
I think with the cap going up, he signs a 1-1 wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, Friday we're going to be talking some free agent point guards.
Heck yeah, we are.
That's a serious issue we might have to figure out. We're probably talking some small forwards as well. It's going to be ever so closer to free agency starting, too.
I can't wait.
So everyone's strapping for Friday's episode. Thank you for hanging out on the stream. We're here every Tuesday. Shout out to Grip 6 Belts. I'm still wearing mine. I crawled through Mordor this weekend.
It refuses to fall off. People are just trying to rip his pants off. When you cover the Clippers, man, things get a little crazy.
You need that Grip 6 Belt. Thank you for hanging out on the live stream. Thanks for listening. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for asking questions, everybody. Thanks for watching us. We appreciate it.